State Warriors. Came here hoping to get a split to go back home, tied at two, but they got blown out of game three. A combination of shots not falling and mistakes made. And the defending champions, the team with a 73-9 regular season, have to win three straight to advance. Final score, game four. Oklahoma City 118 at Golden State 94.
These guys have been doing it all season long, not just tonight, not in this series, but all season long. We constantly got to keep trusting in those guys, and those guys just came through. They put in the work every day, and tonight was one of those nights where it showed. And, we definitely going to continue to trust them, and we're going to need everybody to get where we need to get to.
Well, things are getting interesting all over the place. So much to get to. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow, with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975, you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday where we do everything differently. We play What Are the Odds? So whatever you call, text, tweet, send a raven about, put odds on it. And as a matter of fact, here's something we'd like to do. A couple things right off the top here. We're going to play a little What Are the Odds for Facebook Live next segment. So while we're on break, we're going to do this. So tweet us your best What Are the Odds, and if they're good enough, they'll be a competitor at 6:15 when we do our What Are the Odds contest for the $50 Quaker Steak and Lube gift card. So over the next 8 minutes or so, tweet us your most clever, best What Are the Odds.
Okay.
Does that sound fair?
And we'll answer them on the Facebook Live?
Yeah, we'll answer them on the Facebook Live. We won't necessarily do it on Twitter. So just fire away at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow, at Degenerates 975. Also, just want to mention, because it's been a big topic.
Mention it.
But I actually broke a little news today on Twitter. That was pretty cool in stereo.
Thanks.
Not any big surprise, because I don't think they'd be doing their jobs if they weren't looking into this. But the NCAA is looking into the Baylor situation. I don't have any more information than that, but I did get it confirmed from two people. I did tweet it out. And after my media rant yesterday, you know I was going to be damn sure I was right about it, but that is happening. So, I'm kind of curious what all the NCAA could do. So, I've got a friend of ours coming on next segment who knows everything there is to know about that. So, we're going to talk to him next segment. So, your phone calls will come segment three at 4:30, because all right, we usually don't take phone calls in the first segment. We'll have a guest second segment, and I don't know that we'll do the whole segment, but just to kind of clarify what the hell can happen here. And I think it's very interesting that once the NCAA is involved, they tend to find stuff. So we'll find out what that's about. And if you're one of those people who started following me today because I actually tweeted out breaking news about Baylor, can I just warn you that that's probably the first thing I've broken in about 4 years. So
you're not a newsbreaker.
No, but you know what? I'm not going to lie. It was kind of fun breaking news again. It was fun making sure I had it, because I actually had it. And then I reached out to about five people who I knew could confirm it, and I waited till I heard from one of them.
I forget what, it's been several years since I did any breaking news, and people got really salty about it. I don't even remember what it was. It had something to do with Texas, though, and Texas fans were really mad at me about it.
You're just a messenger, man.
Yeah.
Well, and
that's why I don't try to break news. I'm not a newsbreaker.
And this started because I was curious
about news.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. It's like, well, why isn't the NCAA involved in this? And so I reached out to some people, and you know, one of them got back to me and said, oh, yeah, they're looking at it.
Guess what I found on Twitter today? I found female alumni of Baylor University who are staunch defenders of Art Briles and Kenneth Starr, for that matter. And they, chicks were basically saying it's a bunch of speculation. There's no hard evidence yet. And I said,
well,
so
that is true, with the exception of the two convictions that you've already had.
Well, besides those. But I said, so do you think those girls just said that they got raped and told Art Briles and Ken Starr knew about it? Do you think they just made that up for some reason? Blocked me on Twitter.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So, but they do exist out there, and I likened it to, I feel like a female Baylor supporter at this point is like a Mexican Muslim lady who's voting for Donald Trump. It's almost just too absurd to imagine.
Well, I think it kind of goes back to some of the things we've already talked about, is that you're going to defend the fact that, I mean, this guy rescued your football program. So until he gets nailed, you're going to defend it till the very end. These will be the same people saying, oh, I'm so disappointed. What a horrible human being, if it ever comes to that. And, you know, we'll see. But in truth, I mean, it looks bad right now. I sincerely hope the dude wasn't involved. I really do.
Yeah.
But we're going to find out. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. Best way is probably to text the show, as we're going to be a little tied up here for the first half hour, but we will get to your phone calls at some point, and we will be giving away a gift certificate, which you can get in here. All right, here's what are the odds for you. What are the odds that if your beloved Warriors don't come back and your beloved LeBron somehow loses, that you won't watch the NBA Finals?
I'll watch the finals. I'll watch with way less interest. Considerably less, because I don't think there's any way that the Raptors could beat the Thunder.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I don't think there's any way they can beat the Cavs either, though.
Yeah,
yeah, but no, I wouldn't have any real interest in that either. I don't think the Raptors are going to win. I firmly believe the Cavaliers win at home, and then I think they'll win Game 6. It might be close, but I think they win Game 6. And if they don't, I just don't think Toronto can beat them in Cleveland. Those guys, that backcourt, they're good, but I just don't think they have enough good games in them to beat Cleveland.
Yeah.
The other one now, I could see the Warriors reeling off three in a row, but not if they played like they did in OKC. Both of those games. The Thunder's defense has been terrific. Yeah, going back to the Spurs series, to be honest, I didn't pay any attention to the first round because it was the first round. But their defense has been terrific in these two series, and that's really been the difference. And, you know, Russell Westbrook going off, I still could see the Warriors coming back because that's one team that I can see winning three in a row. But it's definitely fair to look at it now and say, it's getting interesting.
Yep.
Because at no point were the Warriors in that game last night.
No, I mean, at the end of the first quarter, they tightened it up, and I think they were down 6 points. But that was after they had already been down like 18 at one point in the first quarter. I mean, it was just an overwhelming storm from the Thunder, and the Warriors just never really – it never even felt like they were going to – have that run where they pull ahead and just step on the gas. It just didn't feel that way, and of course it never happened. So this Thunder team is great. There's no doubt about it. For the Warriors, though, I mean, I think the only thing I can say is I think that maybe the pressure is getting to these guys. You know, they're in a position where they if they win the title this year, there's a lot of people who will be able to argue and probably win an argument that says they're the best team of all time. If they lose this series, they're unequivocally eliminated from that argument. There's no discussion at that point if they lose this series. You know, they're the defending champs. They've got the two-time MVP. People are talking about Steph Curry now being the best player in the NBA, which, while I think he was this year, I still wouldn't say he's the best player in the NBA. I think he had the best season in the NBA. I still wouldn't call him the best player in the NBA. But I feel like all this pressure is starting to mount on him, perhaps. That's the only explanation I have, because they don't look like the same team. And a lot of the credit has to go to the Thunder, who are playing their asses off, and they're in a zone. Russell Westbrook, who do you right now, if you just watch this series and I told you, hey, the MVP of the league is in this series, I mean, is there any doubt that you would think it was Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, if you just parachuted in.
Yeah, like
I started watching from game one.
I moved here from Estonia.
Yeah,
and I'm watching basketball for the first time.
I'll go with Latvia.
Okay, and they said, "Hey, the best player in the world is in this series. You should watch it." And you watch the games that have happened so far. You're definitely not jumping to the conclusion that Steph Curry's the best player in the world. Because Russell Westbrook right now just looks like a force.
Steph Curry looks like there's flashes where he still looks like Steph Curry, but I'm going to give the Thunder defense credit for what they're doing with him too. They're making it very difficult on him, and that Thunder small lineup has worked really well, which it didn't against the Spurs, but it matches up. And I can't remember if it was the guys last night that said it or if it was something I read this morning, but they were saying that OKC is one of the few teams that can play small ball against that Warriors lineup and do well against them. Because usually when the Warriors go small, they kill you.
Right.
And OKC's been able to do that very well. So this series is they surprised me against the Spurs, but they're not surprising me so much here. Because the way they handled that Spurs team kind of made me think they'd have a chance to punch these guys in the mouth and then see how they reacted. Well, they've punched, and now we'll see how they react. But I wouldn't put it past them winning three in a row, but it's not going to be easy. All right.
We're going back now. I mean, this is, you could argue, two games in a row that Draymond Green is the worst player on the floor. I mean, he has his last two games, he could not have been worse. Could not have been worse. His plus minus in the last two games, the two games in Oklahoma City?
Oh, it was something ridiculous last night. They gave it out on air.
It was minus 30 last
night. Yeah.
Game three, it was minus 43. So he's minus 73 in the last two games. I mean, that's such a an embarrassing number almost. And I don't... It's a bad situation for him right now. He's got to be better. That's as important as Steph Curry is to that team. And make no mistake, he's very important to them. Draymond Green is vital. I mean, that guy he's kind of a utility tool. He does everything. And the last two games, he has done nothing positive. Nothing. I mean, and he's.
No, he tripped Enes Kanter last night.
Okay.
He did do that.
I mean, he kicked the guy in the dong.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's about the best thing you've seen out of him so far. It has been a nightmare for him, and they've got to get that guy going. Steph and Clay in game three were the only two guys who showed up. And then last night, Clay scored. Steph couldn't find the basket. And it's a bad time for them to be playing like this. But like I said, it boils down to, If they lose this series, it's no question who the best. I mean, there's no argument about who the best team of all time is anymore.
They're not even the Warriors, best team this year.
The Warriors won one more game than them.
Yeah, congratulations. Go home and cry in your President's Cup trophy like they give in hockey.
Right.
You and the Washington Capitals can
remember that year the Mariners won all those games.
Yeah.
And then they lost in the playoffs.
And nobody talks about them. All right, last chance to get in a few What Are the Odds tweets to us, and then switch over to Facebook Live. We will do them on Facebook Live, and whichever one we judge the best, or John judges the best, will be a contender when we do our giveaway at 6:15 today. So,
all right, guys, got to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. Listen, law enforcement, they're stepping up their efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope for you, even if you failed the breath or blood test the police gave you. A lot of things about those tests you should know about. Breath tests, they're inaccurate. They're unreliable. The machines aren't even warranted fit for testing on humans. It makes temperature assumptions that create artificially high results, then destroys the evidence that it checked, making recheck and improving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. Plenty of inaccuracies about police blood testing. It's not done by the same process that a medical doctor tests your blood. These guys are testing the air above your blood, and they're testing it in a lab filled with chemicals. It's not like CSI on television. The police forensic capabilities are just not up to snuff. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist. He's experienced in telling the truth about these tests. One of only four board-certified specialists in the state. He's right here in Houston. If you failed the breath or blood test, call Attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010 or visit him online, texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Attorney Gary Trichter.
You're listening to The Blitz. Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Kenny Hop. I spit it through the wire, man.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the Facebook Live. Apparently we can say more on that than we can on air. At least I hope we can, because I did that. All right, wanted to have a guest on real quickly to talk a little bit about this Baylor stuff. And when I found out today, the first person I reached out to is one of my favorite people on the planet. And he is right now he's chairman of the sports law group at a law firm. He's had his own firm before. He's worked in compliance. He's pretty much the guy when it comes to this stuff. He works for Michael Best and Frederick. And he's the guy, as a matter of fact, that when Southern basketball could not get in the tournament, he got that overturned. So, also a big friend of the show, John Long, joins us. Am I correct on the Southern thing?
Yeah. We helped them get into the tournament. Unfortunately, couldn't get past that Holy Cross game, but, you know, always next year.
Hey, they got in at least. You know, they weren't going to get in without your help. All right, so the thing is today, and I had tweeted this out, that the NCAA is looking into it. What would the NCAA look into in this Baylor situation? But yeah, if there's basically, this is just he said, she said, and what practical things could the NCAA look at, and what could they do?
Yeah, you know, the focus of on this, Fred and AJ, thanks for having me on, by the way, in sports to you guys. The focus on this thing so far has been about the nature of the crime itself, and that's sexual assault, rape, and obviously the interjection that has with Title IX. But really, if there's any impact on an NCAA from an NCAA standpoint, what you're looking for is not the nature of the crime, but just the nature of the services or benefits that are provided. So for an instance or a situation where there's an allegation where there's been some hookups for criminal prosecution, for anything of that nature, it's going to focus on from an NCAA standpoint is, how was that hookup? How was that lack of prosecution derived? Who derived that? So you're really talking about two different impacts. You're either talking about the provision of free attorney or counsel services. You guys are obviously familiar that we've had some situations that are high profile where you realize that there's an attorney that's connected to the program. Florida State comes to mind, where David Cornwell, not to say that he was committing or involved in any violations for his representation, but you see programs that have friends who are attorneys of the programs. Now, if there's a situation, if the NCAA can demonstrate that a program was relying on free legal services, or that athletes were benefiting from those free legal services to arrange for drop prosecution, for a dropped investigation, the NCAA would quantify that as being a violation of extra benefit legislation, and that would result in loss of amateurism as well. Now, you know, student-athletes at this point, when we're talking about the Baylor kids, are they really going to care if they're indicted for an NCAA violation that could result in the suspension of a game? Yeah, probably not. They got bigger problems.
Bigger worries, yeah.
Yeah. But this is significant, though, and from the standpoint of it'll affect the institution, and as you guys, we may get into possibly a coach or staff member that's involved as well. as well. The second area where there could be an effect is if there's an inside job itself. If someone from a police department or from the district attorney's office was found to have provided preferential treatment to a student athlete based on their status as a Baylor athlete, you're also talking about possible issues there in NCAA violations. So if it can be found, if NCAA enforcement is investigating an institution and they can find that there's a connection in one of those two areas, school's going to start to be in trouble. And then you talk about the head coach connection. Well, that's a separate issue.
Well, I want to get to that in just a second. But when the NCAA does get involved in these things, we've seen them dig up quite a bit in past stuff. It goes back to the SMU scandal. I mean, how much potentially damage could this do to the program once the NCAA gets involved, as opposed to basically just having their own law firm? And you as a lawyer probably understand a little bit about what that firm was doing. What's the difference between the NCAA and them investigating themselves with a firm that's allegedly independent?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The purpose that you retain outside counsel if you're an institution that's facing a potential allegation is you want to demonstrate to the NCAA that you're being as objective and as thorough as possible. Now, look, it's a delicate balance, and you know, I have some personal knowledge about this, obviously, but you know, an institution that's writing your checks and that's paying you as outside counsel is going to want a product that they're happy or they're content with. At the same time, though, if you're outside counsel for an institution like this, you can't jeopardize your integrity and your standing with the NCAA or the governing body that you're supposedly investigating a report for to furnish to. So if you're doing it right, you have outside counsel who can provide something thorough and objective, and then that outside counsel simultaneously is going to have to advise that institution, given the facts that you can't avoid, what's going to be the best course of action for you. That's going to depend on the facts, Fred. So, you know, that's going to come into what staff members are involved, what student athletes are involved, whatever is best. Definitely, it changes based on the circumstances.
So, well, one more question about this, because Baylor is able to hide behind being a private school, as a lot of private schools are, when it comes to freedom of information, when it comes to the media. Does that work with the NCAA? Do they have any protection from the NCAA in that situation?
Well, here's what the NCAA can do. They don't have subpoena power, as you guys are aware. That was a big issue with the Miami case. But what they can do is they can restrict individuals from participating in their activities. So they can issue a show cause if there's a lack of cooperation to individuals. They can implicate or assign aggravating circumstances or factors to institutions that don't cooperate, which in turn the Committee on Infractions can then say is a demonstration that the school is trying to hide behind or not provide information. That can lead to more enhanced penalties. So that could be the difference if there's an aggravated level one. That could be the difference between postseason bans or maybe the avoidance of postseason bans. When I say level one, I'm talking about the severity of the infractions case. You got level one through four, and level one's the highest. You know, most of us, we think of those as major infractions, which are now level one and two infractions. So the institution can be impacted. Certainly personnel can be impacted. But if you got that sweet NFL gig that's waiting on the other side, maybe you're not as concerned about a show cause. So all depends.
And one last one here, because Art Briles is the big question, I think, and how much he knew. Now, let's say that their report says, okay, we're going to get rid of Kenneth Starr. We're not going to get rid of Art Briles. What if 6 months from now the NCAA digs up a whole lot of stuff that says he's involved? What kind of punishments could be there, and would he survive that? And what punishments could the NCAA put on him?
Hey, look, I have no knowledge of the case, so don't get me in trouble, Fred. I don't know anything about what's going on with Baylor specifically.
No, we're just asking you to speculate long term here. What punishment could happen? Yeah, if they found out he was involved.
Look, if you have potential loss of amateurism issues with preferential treatment, if you have extra benefits that are being conferred either through legal representative that is arranging for hookups with the district attorney's office or with police, or if you got a cop themselves, or if you got a district attorney themselves who are arranging for benefits, lack of prosecution, you know, avoidance of jail time, whatever it is. Free bail arranged is another example that we've seen in recent cases, one involving University of Montana. If the head coach knows about that, then you're going to be the coach is going to be subjected to potential NCAA troubles in one of two ways. One is they could be cited for a lack of head coach responsibility. Well, we've seen that in some recent cases. We know that those, if you are indicted for having a lack of head coach responsibility, you get implicated in that. You're going to be facing suspensions if it's a level three, level two, level one infractions case. And also, that doesn't shield you from going from the, with the old, it was the assistant coach that knew about it and it wasn't me. Because that infraction is going to necessarily dictate that the head coach is implicated because they got responsibilities for educating, monitoring, and reporting the activities of their assistant coaches. The worst scenario, though, is if it's proven that a head coach or a staff member lied on the record during the course of an infractions investigation, then you got unethical conduct issues, and you can very likely, if it's a level one or two infractions case again, see a show cause order and get suspended from, you know, indefinitely from participating in NCAA activities. Or if you got a situation where the coach or a staff member knew that this was going on and failed to report it in their annual declaration that they weren't hiding any violations. Look, in that situation, the NCAA isn't going to pursue that unethical conduct course that often unless you really piss them off. We have seen cases though where that has happened, and you know, if you're hiding information, if you're trying to shield behind other protections that you have, regardless of your institution profile, the NCAA is going to treat that, and they're going to react, and you're more likely to get subjected to more penalties in that situation.
All right, that's John Long. He's chairman of the firm's sports law practice for Michael Best and Friedrich. And, John, appreciate it. And you know what? If I'm Baylor, I'm calling you to represent me in this. So,
hey, thanks for having me, guys. And, hey, listeners, you can wake up now. I know the boring stuff's over, so it's all good.
We could always talk about little people strippers. I know you can get into that.
Hey, I'm in on that. I'm in on that all day.
All right.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, man. All right.
All right, bye-bye.
ESPN 97.5.
Hold my breath if I was you. Cause I forget, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know, don't you know? True friends stab you in the front.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. All right, we'll get some phone calls now. 713-780-3776. And you know what, John? I don't like this having to work and do Facebook things during the first break because, you know, now we've got food from Revelry on Richmond and really good beer from Revelry on Richmond. And I don't have time to eat it because we're kind of all backed up from doing that. So I'm complaining.
You can eat and drink and do the show at the same time.
Well, I know you can't eat.
No, you can't.
You can't eat and do the show. They're talking to two guys who ate 100 wings last week during breaks.
I'll be out at Revelry on Richmond on Saturday. I think I'll be there from 2 to 3.
Yeah?
I am participating in a FIFA 16 tournament.
Nice. Are you good at FIFA 16?
I am horrible.
Oh, you're going to lose to some little Ethiopian dude, aren't you?
Almost. I mean, there's literally zero chance I'm going to win a game. But the winner of the whole tournament gets a PlayStation 4 console.
Oh, geez.
There's,
all right, I'm going to come into this.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's a...
I need some coaching, though. I need somebody who listens to Soccer Matters to help me out.
Again, you're also probably not going to win if you've never played.
Well, I played.
But, Revelry on Richmond, you do need a new console, though.
I do. That's what I'm saying.
It's at Dunleavy in Richmond. They've got a bunch of great beer, a bunch of great food, a bunch of TVs. It's going to be a good time. And then, like I said, on Saturday, to hype up the Copa America tournament, they're having a FIFA tournament. Hmm. And the first 60 people to sign up can compete in it. I'll actually – there's no sign-up fee. So what I'm going to do is send out the link to sign up right now.
Cool.
It's through Eventbrite. So, again, it's free. First 60 of you get in. I'll tweet that out as we speak. So,
all right. Well, I'm not going to play, but I may come out there and hang out for a little bit, especially if they have more of this Founders KBS out there.
Oh, it's so good.
You got the 13. So we got beer, too.
13, yeah.
Which is awesome. 713-780-ESPN. What are the odds John changes his Twitter handle as soon as Fred starts to remember his new one? See, I've now gone through 2 days and 1 hour without getting it wrong. which is...
Well, I mean, I always wanted Jon Snow.
Right.
The guy that has it, he... The last thing he tweeted was like from 2012 or something. So I was searching on the way to kind of play off that. So I just used the zero.
It's like the...
All right, so you're not going to change it for a while.
No, it's like the old bag that owns AJHoffman.com and has owned it forever.
Mm.
Like there was a time when I first got into radio, I used to buy up all the other local radio guys' website domains and use them to make fun of them.
Yeah.
But I couldn't own my own because it was owned by some old lady in California whose husband is an antique dealer, and now he's dead, and she offered to sell me
Talk
the
about
website.
Antique.
She offered to sell me the website for $10,000, and I passed.
Well, I think now it's up. Well, it's not up anymore, so you can buy it if you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to AJHoffman.com, and it's links to a GoDaddy purchases website kind of thing.
All right. You probably shouldn't have said that on the air.
Yeah, because now somebody's going to do it and say, all right, AJ, I'll sell it to you for $1,000. What are the odds you are feeling charitable and would give me a free copy of Introduction to Sports Betting? Percent zero, because if you can't afford $12.99, I don't want you betting. That's kind of, you have no business betting if you can't afford that. Let's try a phone call. We'll get Doc to lead it off today. What's going on, Doc?
Sports, guys. How y'all doing?
Sports to you.
All right. What are the odds? If you guys remember last year during the NBA offseason, everybody was so sold on Kevin Durant leaving the Thunder and going to play in Washington. Well, what are the odds he stays in OKC if he gets a ring this year?
I don't think whether or not he gets a ring this year is going to have any impact. I still think it's less than 10% chance he's in OKC at the end of the year. And we talked about this on Facebook Live. Somebody had that same question. So I wouldn't think that a run here makes any difference towards his future. And if he wins, I think he's even more likely to leave. It's going to be like, you know what? I brought him a title. Now I'm going to go do what I want to do. So I don't know whether it's going to be Washington or the Lakers or any of the hundreds of teams in the NBA. Okay, 30 other teams in the NBA that are out there. But I would be surprised if he's still in OKC next year.
Okay, so AJHoffman.com is parked. But basically what I would have to do is I would pay GoDaddy to negotiate with this lady who I've already found to be unreasonable. So, and I'd have to pay $70 for them to negotiate.
That's not worth it.
No.
Can't we just wait for that woman to die? She's got to be old too, right?
I mean, I would assume she's old.
Shouldn't she be dead by now anyway?
I don't think she is. I'd really like her to be. She's had a good run.
Yeah, she obviously had a great run, and she wants too much money from you.
Yeah. But, right. Yeah, I'm not paying $70 to have GoDaddy talk to this lady about buying a website that she's not interested in selling. It's got a lot of sentimental value to her, even though she refuses to do anything with it.
Let's try Mike real quick.
I hate her, by the way.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm going to share the hate. What's up, Mike?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
So, I'm a big boxing fan, and hearing the news that Saul, even though I believe that there's no way that Alvarez was ever going to fight Golovkin. But now hearing the fact that he has entered negotiations with the junior middleweight, I can't think of the guy's name, he's in England, the champion, that he's not going to face Golovkin, and he had never had intention of ever fighting him. Who will Golovkin, what percent will Golovkin have to fight Saunders, or will he have to go through guys like Eubanks Jr. and maybe Danny Garcia to get there?
You know what I hope happens with Golovkin? Since obviously this Canelo fight's not going to happen, because whether it's Canelo or his people, I hope Golovkin goes up and fights Kovalev or Ward, whoever wins that fight. Because you know what? I don't know who would win.
I don't either.
I know who would win out of GGP and Canelo. I don't know who would win if he went up and fought those guys. And you mentioned, what is he, 34 years old now? He's not going to have that much more time. I'd rather see that fight. As a boxing fan, I would rather see that fight than him and Canelo.
Yeah, and if you remember when they said that when Canelo dropped the belt, and said that he has instructed his team to start negotiations with Golovkin to get that fight to happen. Well, yesterday it came out that Golden Boy had not engaged in any negotiations with Golovkin's team. That was, I mean, 2 weeks after the fact? Or what?
Yeah, they never had any intention to. Yeah. And I said that at the time. And you know what? I'm not that interested in that fight if Golovkin goes up and fights the other guys, who I think are better fighters anyway and more interesting fighters to me. And Canelo can go beat up on all the Amir Khans he wants, and everybody can talk about how great he is, and everybody makes a bunch of money, and we're all happy that way.
Yeah.
So would I have liked to have seen it? Absolutely.
For sure.
But realistically, I never thought it was going to happen. All right, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. If you get in, if you want to get in, and lots of other ways to get in touch with the show. So we're going to have some fun the rest of the way.
Guys, summertime is coming up. You're going to want to be out in your backyard entertaining. And I'm guessing that most of you, your back patio, your back pool, your backyard pool is probably looking pretty rough. That's where you need to call the guys at Allied Outdoor Solutions. These guys can get your yard looking amazing, your back patio looking amazing, your outdoor kitchen, your patio covers, whatever you're doing, they can take care of. They can renovate all that stuff, including your driveway. With their, they've got this great technology called Carvestone. It's an overlay. Basically, they put it down on top of the already existing concrete. It gives you a superior look of real stone on your existing surface. It's cheaper than real stone. It's troweled, hand-carved, and custom-colored for your home. It's going to look amazing. It's got slip-resistant surface, very durable, twice as strong as concrete. It's really the way to go. And you can also save yourself a lot of money. They can figure out how to hang on to your dough with these several monthly payment options. They offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. I went by the warehouse, by the showroom, I mean. It's amazing. Stop by it. It's at I-10 in the Beltway. Beautiful stuff that they can do there. Or you can check out the Carvestone Projects photo gallery at beautifyyourconcrete.com. That's beautifyyourconcrete.com. Or call for a risk-free estimate at 713-465-0400. That's 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Now I'm having flashbacks because I have a mouthful of food. Sunfest 2016, the fourth annual beach party and volleyball tournament, is back, presented by Landshark Lager. We kick off the summer with a party each year on the first official Saturday of summer. Join us June 18th on East Beach. We have volleyball divisions for all levels of players, and this year we're giving away ESPN gear, tickets, and a four-night stay to any Red Roof Inn in the U.S. Sunfest is courtesy of the Galveston CVB, the Galveston Parks Board, Gulf Coast Volleyball Association, ESPN 97.5, and Landshark Lager. See, now, if we had an NHL 16 tournament, that'd be great. That's my game.
I won a Madden tournament that our station put on in Austin, and it was like a badass prize pack, and I couldn't win it. So the guy that I beat by 30-something points in the final got a badass prize pack.
Mm. See, although, you know one thing I hate about games? Like, you get to the pro level, and then there's All-Star, and then there's whatever the right top one is. What I hate is when you get to, say, All-Star level, and you just destroy it, and every time you move up, you're losing. You're down 5-0 in the first period every game.
Yeah.
And you just can't. You know, it's you're killing one of them, so it's not competitive and it's not fun, but you're not good in the other one. And I've just never been able to close the gap on that top level. I don't know why. I get my ass kicked every time. I'm always down. And I could have the best team and I'm playing a bunch of scrubs. I'm down 5-0. But on the other level, I can have the worst team and I'm playing the best team, and the same thing. It's just not competitive, so it's no fun. I hate when that happens. Soccer Dwayne said he'll coach me up on the soccer.
I don't think there's enough coaching that can be done Saturday.
I mean, I understand the strategy. I just have to learn how to cheat before Saturday.
I'm just not good at it.
Yeah. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call. Ryan, you are on The Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports, I just wanted to make a comment about, you know, Canelo vacating. Man, if you just look at it, man, Canelo don't want to take that fight with Triple G. But I think, Canelo and one of the twins, Jamal or Jamel, man, that's more his flow, you know. So, you know, you got three built at 154 in Houston, Texas, Laura, Jamel, and Jamal. So, man, that would be a good fight, but he's not going to take it because it's too big of a risk. That's all I had to say. Thanks, guys.
See, that's what I always thought Canelo was one of these guys who was, he was like the great Mexicans. He was willing to take the fights that he knew there was risk, but he was for the people. He would fight hard, and he was proud of his heritage, and he would want to put on a show for all the people. And he, if he lost, he lost, but everyone knew he was a warrior when he stepped into that ring. That's what I thought. But
I don't know that he isn't. I put this more on Oscar.
Oscar's got to, he's got to protect that goose.
Who's Oscar's second best fighter?
I don't know.
Me either. That's the point. So he's going to protect this. He's not going to put him in another fight that he could lose. And as much as, you know, we want to cry about it, that's boxing. So I'm out on it. I'm not going to cry about it. Let him fight whoever he wants. Let him pad his record. Let him make a bunch of money on pay-per-views. I hope Golovkin goes up and fights guys who can really fight, who will fight him.
I saw Golovkin today. Like it bummed me out because he tweeted something about, I guess World Boxing News had this story about they were proposing, the president of WBC was proposing a tournament to find the next challenger for Golovkin's middleweight belt. And I was like, I don't want to see that. I don't care about that.
No.
Anybody who's going to fight in a four-man tournament isn't good enough that I'm going to want to see it on pay-per-view anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'll pay for Golovkin to beat up whomever. But that's an awful idea. I think he has to go up. I think that's the only way. And as weird and convoluted as it was when we interviewed Roy Jones, he was right. I mean, that's the only fights that are there for him is to go up and forget Canelo. Because Canelo won't fight him. It's not really what he said, but in retrospect, he did make a big point out of how if Kovalev wants to, I mean, if Triple G wants to prove himself, he has to go up and fight Kovalev or Ward. Well, okay, I'd love to see him against a winner of that. I'll pay for that. I'll pay whatever they ask me to pay for that.
Yeah.
Within reason. I mean, I'm not going to pay $700 for it, but I'll pay $100 for it, which is much as what Mayweather and them charged. And you and I and the people who really enjoy seeing the best fighters fight will be the only ones who watch it. When Canelo fights his next tomato can, that'll do more pay-per-view numbers than Ward or Kovalev versus
maybe
Golovkin would. I think it'd be significant. So from a business standpoint, I don't blame him. But it's chicken bleep. But hey, that's because I don't think it would affect Canelo at all to get his ass kicked by Golovkin. His next fight, he would still sell a whole bunch of fights and a whole bunch of pay-per-views and people would be happy because he's got a following. But, you know, that's the thing. If you're a Canelo fan, you can have the illusion now that, oh, he would have won. And you don't have to worry about the truth.
Right.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And people say people are never satisfied with Canelo. They said he would never fight Trout, never fight Laura, never fight Floyd. He fought them all. Yeah, nobody ever said that. Stop it. Nobody said he would never fight those. You maybe said that.
Dude, Canelo, Canelo would beg to fight Floyd because he knew it was a giant payday.
Yeah.
I'd fight Floyd if I could get the payday for it.
Yes. And all those other fights you mentioned, they aren't Golovkin. And I'm not saying it's Canelo. It's probably De La Hoya, and that's okay. He's protecting his investment. But don't throw that BS out there. Truth is, they don't want that fight. There's a reason they don't want that fight.
Yeah. Canelo wanted to be the middleweight champion until it came time to fight the best middleweight. And then he decided, I don't want to be the middleweight champion anymore. And he's going to fight smaller guys. And if that's what it is, that's fine. But just say it and quit trying to pretend like it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Say, I'm better at this weight. I don't really want to. Don't go out. Where he made it worse is going out and saying, oh, I want this fight.
Right. That's the worst when he's I'm willing to fight anybody at any time, and including Golovkin, and that fire is burning in me now. Then, I mean, either don't say that or set up the fight.
Yeah.
When you say, I want to fight Golovkin, I've told my people to set up the fight, and then 2 weeks later, they haven't even started talking. That lets you know. I mean, Golovkin's already said he wants to fight. He'll fight him.
And here come the Canellos. Golovkin's only fought tomato cans. Canelo's resume is much better.
He has.
Because nobody will fight him. And by the way, Canelo's resume is not that good.
But, I mean, listen, is fighting Amir Khan, is that making his legacy any better? No. He's fighting a welterweight, two weight classes up, and who's already got a glass jaw, knocking him out. And, by the way, was getting pieced up until he knocked him out. Come on, guys. Yeah. I mean, and I understand. Does Canelo have a better resume than Golovkin? Yes.
Not by much. Cotto was at the end of his career. Mosley was at the end of his career, and he lost to Mayweather.
But let the guy fight.
Yeah.
Golovkin, there's nobody wants to fight him.
Well. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.